The Fair Work Commission recently rejected a call for a minimum wage target from the nation's leading unions. They were understandably disheartened by this news, while organisations like the Australian Industry Group, who represents some 60,000 businesses, are delighted that the costs of doing everyday business won't be going up as much as it could be. I asked Thomas Costa, the Assistant Secretary of Unions New South Wales, about what it has meant to them for the Commission to reject the target.
We were hoping that by having a target, this would set a platform for which the Commission, when they're setting their wages, would be able to slowly, incrementally increase minimum wages with the goal of restoring the balance between cost of living and workers' wages. Allowing people effectively to earn an income where they can maintain the same standard of living that they've become used to. Because as it is at the moment, people effectively, their standard of living is declining. Their wages are stagnating, but the cost of living is going up. So in the real world, that means that their standard of living is actually going down.
The victors in this story, like the Australian Industry Group, have started offering their own alternative. They are pushing for an increase of 1.5% in the looming June review. That's only 66% of last year's increase. Here's Stephen Smith of the Australian Industry Group to explain why.
Well, when you look at what we're proposing, which is a 1.5% increase, which works out at $10.10 on the national minimum wage, that's consistent with the level of inflation at the moment. And there's obviously a very tough environment out there for a lot of businesses. The problem with a minimum wage increase that applies across the board is, you know, of course, there are some businesses that are doing well and other businesses that are doing tough. Those businesses that are struggling really have limited capacity to pass on a wage increase, and if an excessive increase is awarded, they're left often with no option other than to cut staff or not employ people that they would have otherwise employed. Well, I think when you look at the ACTU's proposals, you could go back over the last at least 5 years, and their claim in the annual wage review has been roughly, you know, $25 to $30, you know, $27 one year, $28 the next year. Suddenly this year, they added another 50% on to what they have asked for in recent years. And some of their affiliated unions, like United Voice, are proposing about double what the ACTU is proposing. So it seems
so you
that
think they're getting away with it a bit?
They're getting away. They're getting you know, quite fanciful in what they're proposing. And you know, we've got an expert panel within the commission that really is looking for credible proposals, and we just see this as not a credible proposal, what they're proposing this year.
However, with this rejection, there is suggestion, particularly from Jed Kearney, the president of the ACTU, that the workplace relations system is, quote, broken and skewed towards employers. Here's Stephen Smith to explain why it isn't.
The fact that the unions have recently come out and spoken about such things as the Fair Work system being broken, it really needs to be seen in the right context. We had legislation prior to the Fair Work Act, which was far more generous towards employers than the current legislation. But the current legislation was swung, in our view, heavily back towards employees by the Gillard.
In what ways, as in swung heavily back?
Well, we argued when the Act was introduced in 2009 that we added up more than 150 areas of that legislation that granted additional powers to unions and rights to employees beyond not just the Work Choices legislation that was there immediately prior, but even going back to the legislation before that was there during the Hawke and Keating government. So it was legislation that was very pro-union and pro-employer, and that's the pro-employee. That's the legislation we've got. And the unions are now turning around and saying, well, it's all broken and they need to be granted much bigger entitlements. And it just
So do you think they have a far shorter-term view than they should be?
Oh, I think so. They've got a new National Secretary, who's been saying some fairly outrageous things in the public, like, laws that they regard as unfair laws don't need to be complied with. And, you know, this new terminology that's being used about the workplace relations system seems to be part of all of that, and it just doesn't stand up.
A wider economic stat of note is that Australia is already third in real minimum wages in the OECD. So why do you increase it further and potentially threaten job protection? Thomas Costa from Unions New South Wales defends their case.
This has been a really, really, really common argument that by lowering wages, you increase jobs. But there is no underlying research that actually proves this. So there is research that was done by the ACTU when they put in this submission that said that actually if you do increase the minimum wage, you're looking at increasing the amount of jobs in the Australian economy by 35,000 to 80,000 just by the amount of money that you stimulate the economy with, because people on the lowest wages spend their wages. They go out and they spend it, and they spend it in the economy, in the local economy, and that drives jobs. So this argument that by keeping wages low, we increase jobs, it just hasn't been proven, and it hasn't been borne out in the evidence. And there are a lot of other people, not just the unions, who've been saying this. Peter Lilly from the Conservative Economic and Financial Secretary, who worked under Margaret Thatcher, came out and said, we didn't have a minimum wage in Britain until 20 years ago, and we were afraid that it would destroy low-paid jobs. It didn't. By keeping wages down, you increase jobs is just not borne out in the evidence. The argument that you keep the minimum wage down and you increase jobs couldn't be further from the truth.
So what are your biggest hopes for the June review then?
We're hoping for a very fair and reasonable increase to the minimum wage, something around the figure that the ACTU is proposing or higher, so that we can raise a standard of living for these workers and so that they can afford to continue to maintain the healthcare, the education, the services that they're used to going out and purchasing, which the cost of is just rapidly increasing.
In the end, a minimum wage target is most likely off the table. Stevens Australian Industry Group is proposing a $10 increase. The ACTU, with the backing of Unions New South Wales, is proposing a $45 a week increase. Other unions, such as United Voice, are willing to go even higher. But beyond the figures, the real question of the June review will still linger long in our memories: whether the final figure does stack up against the real cost of living.